This is White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace, Part 6. Let us review the current state of the first responders after the Out of the Woods phase. Roddy Lops, conditionless. Very good. Mike Hester's is just got the birds. Sergeant Hank McBride has winded still. And Dallas Bartmoss is still really playing around with their drone. Do we have any crown still out there, or did we get through them all last time? I think we got through them all last time. I don't think anyone else had any crowns out there. No, I think we're good. Everyone narrated theirs. Yeah, yeah, cool. All right. So go ahead and mark new end of session questions if you haven't done so already, if you feel so inclined. And yeah, we had just finished the Out of the Woods phase last time, so you guys have had some downtime, but duty calls, as always, and we are going to introduce our next rescue, the missing child. You are at the scene of a disappearance, possibly an abduction of a child at a picnic rest stop near the New Hampshire and Maine border on the southern part of the White Mountain National Forest. Earlier this morning, your entire team were nearby at Crawford Notch State Park meeting with their staff, conducting some professional development training. Arriving on the scene, you two find Carroll County Deputy Sheriff patrol cars and two groups of people that the deputies have separated. Deputy Jeff Collins explains that one group is a family who had been at the picnic area for most of the day and the only witnesses they found so far, and the other group is the mother of the missing child and her other two children, a two-year-old and an eight-year-old. The missing boy is five-year-old Josh Knox. Let's paint the scene. The rest stop and parking area leads to a trail called Baldface Circle Trail. It has a small playground, picnic tables, and easy access to a small stream for kids to play in. What immediately strikes you as odd with the forest and stream as you listen to the deputy catch you up to speed?
The stream is warm. Not off-puttingly warm, but like most streams, especially in the area, are cold. That's just kind of how it works. And this one has a more lukewarm quality to it.
I'm going to say the opposite of what we said with the last campground that we were at. And instead of looking like it's well used and, you know, some extra bags of trash, I'm going to say this is like immaculate. Like, whoa, this is pretty clean for one of the, for as many tourists as here. What? This is weird. It looks too nice.
The stream itself, for its depth and pace, is quiet. Like, there is no bubbling, no whooshing noises, not even like the of a bird, like just flocking into it. No noise.
The birds aren't in the stream. They are in the trees, and there are way too many of them for this time of year. Just an excessive amount. And some of them aren't even like migratory birds or like the seed-eaten, bug-eaten kind of birds. There's actually like a few turkey vultures up in there.
Very good. Deputy Collins says, the mother brought the kids here to eat lunch and play on the playground. Then they played along the creek about 30 minutes. On the way back to the picnic area, the mother heard, kind of looks down to check his notes, a strange buzzing sound to her right. And when she looked back, her five-year-old was nowhere to be seen. The daughter said a tall man grabbed her brother, but there weren't any tracks and the mother didn't see anyone. Kids, I don't know. He then looks over at the family with the other deputies. The witnesses over there helped look for the child, but they found nothing. That was about an hour ago. Our sergeant called it in to you folks since it's part of White Mountain, not to mention this is your thing. But we can help however you'd like. Deputy Collins is definitely glad you were in the area and promptly turns it over to you with a nod and a handshake. I have an establishing question that I'm going to ask Roderick Lopes. The disappearance or abduction took place about an hour ago, so time is on your side. You know you're much more likely to find someone if there hasn't been a lot of time for them to cover a lot of ground. If the child got onto Baldface Circle Trail, what are some dangerous physical features that make you want to hurry up and find him?
Other than the creek, which is always a concern because the creek winds up near the trail, and that's always a drowning hazard. Falling hazards as he gets further up the trail. It's not like super steep, but he's 5. And of course, wildlife. It's not exactly... Oh, am I quiet? I will turn it up a bit. Yes. But no, it's largely... Let's turn up this input level. There we go. All right. And drowning hazards from the creek. He's only 5. Falling, even if the cliff face isn't steep, and wildlife encounters... even disregarding some of the weirdness we've seen.
The rescue question for the missing child is, what is the wilderness location of Joshua Knox with a complexity of 6? Let me add that to our keeper. Knox. Complexity 6. Answering the rescue question, we'll give the opportunity to locate Josh Knox and then escort him back to his family with more medical care if needed. The Crown of the Innocent is available for this rescue. Each first responder narrates a flashback to someone they knew as a good kid. So, you are standing here in the immediate area. Deputy Collins, is a man in his late 40s, buzz cut, with a sheriff's department cap. He seems very uncomfortable with this entire thing. Though some of you familiar with the area would know that he has been with law enforcement for many years. He just kind of reluctantly hanging off to the side, just kind of like watching, but he has deferred things over to you, pointing. He set the scene. We're here at the picnic area. You can see the 2 hikers that he identified, the 2 other people that were here, I should say, the Knox family, the mother and 2 kids. The picnic area itself, there's a parking lot, which is currently where you all are standing, has a few more cars in it than people in the picnic area itself, implying that there are more people out on the trail today. The deputy sheriffs have those vehicles like blocked in, waiting for their owners to get back. Let's paint the scene. There are picnic tables and access to the Charles Brook stream, as well as a playground. What playground features seem out of place or even creepy as you look around the area?
Like a old school merry-go-round that's not been painted, it's rusted, you know, and it's kind of tilted off on one side. Those creep me out.
All the swings have been tied up around the top.
There's a bunch of those spring animal things that you ride. And these don't seem out of place, but they seem eerie. Because it's all a bunch of deer that have been painted terrifyingly with like wide eyes and everything like that. Like just like big eyes. And then somebody was like, how can we make this look cartoonish but also anatomically correct for a deer? So it has made this weird amalgamation thing.
There's a dodgeball, not dodgeball, but the kind of ball on the chain. Can't recall what that's called.
Tetherball.
Tetherball, thank you. The inherent part that is the tether. The tether is there, the ball is not, but the tether is a chain, and it's sort of just going ching, ching, ching against its pole.
Very nice. So, what is everyone doing?
I think Dallas is going to go talk to the family, right? The family is nearby by their car and everything like that.
Yeah, the family, the Knoxes are off to the side. You can see that the mother looks distraught, is definitely in a bit of a state. And then there are the two other young kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just a 2-year-old and then an 8-year-old.
I think it should be noted that Dallas is also dressed in a way like I am dressed now, wearing a vest and everything like that, but instead of just a white shirt, is wearing a U.S. Forest Services like button-up shirt that has like a patch on it. It does say volunteer on the other shoulder, but if somebody did not see that volunteer patch, then they would think that this person absolutely is an employee of the U.S. Forest Services.
I think we actually, with the just remembering that Dallas exists and is here, I think we need a little bit of like a group role play scene here in the parking lot as you guys are, as perfect. Deputy Colin just like walked off, because we kind of need to establish what's going on here with this group dynamic.
Yes. All right, let's get what we can quick, because I think time's on our side right now, but I think mm-hmm. we really need to get going.
Mm-hmm.
Hank's walking over to the trailer to help Mike take down the ATV to get us yeah. even more time.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed, Roderick. Yeah, and I think Mike should probably hit the trails real quick before of us. You're real quick on that thing. Yeah. Hank, you really know what to look for. You got this area locked down, and Roderick, you're going to be necessary to take care of this kid. I think it's going to be really, really important for me to kind of gather some information around here, mm-hmm. talk to the people, figure out what's going on, and I can relay to you any information I find out. Also, just let me know, I've got the WBs on standby in case, you know, anything.
We don't need the WBs on standby. This is a child.
I mean, if they can keep away their GUNs, they can maybe help, but not with those.
Oh, yeah, I can have them go completely non-lethal. That's more than, it's not like we're yeah. running down a dangerous animal or anything like that. We're trying yeah. to find a kid out here, Mike. What are you talking about? Like, why, and Roderick, like, why would they have guns? Like, come on now.
I mean, all right, we don't have time for this shit. All right, Dallas, if you're gonna talk to the family, make sure you get that, that older kid. They said something about a guy taking their sibling. I know that they don't think that's anything. Get a description.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll try to go through the entire procedure. I've been reading the handbook and everything like that. Great stuff. Kind of dry. I kind of wish there was an audiobook for it. I'll have to talk to people over at Audible and see what we can do about that. But I think we got this in the bag. Cut and dry.
I'm on our side. I'll talk to the other family, Dallas, and mm-hmm. just remember this woman's lost her child, and let's use our people skills.
Absolutely. Tactfulness, understanding, empathy. Of
Roddy,
course.
Roddy, are you mm-hmm. heading out with Mike, or what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I'm gonna head out with Mike just in case. Mm-hmm. I don't wanna leave Mike stranded out there if somebody's hurt.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll be right there with you guys after we
come. All right.
Perfect.
Just
perfect.
Look around the playground.
Okay.
Yeah. I think as like we're sort of separating Mike with Roderick, I think it's just like I really hope Hank keeps an eye on Dallas.
I mean, I think they're, I mean, yeah, sure, they're a little overzealous, but
they have a military group. Like,
and maybe a useful one if we can keep them wrangled.
It's always important to question why a person has a military group, especially when it's not the government.
I mean, I think you and I both know why they have one. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. That's like assuming Jeff Bezos doesn't have one.
Sure, but in the States?
Listen, I'm not going to pretend to know how all that works. I'm just saying, I'm not going to turn away help if it helps a kid.
Mm-hmm.
As long as nobody gets shot.
Speaking of nobody getting shot, Dallas. So, Dallas, you're walking over to the Noxes?
Yeah, I do want to, as where Hank is walking over towards the playground and everything like that, I just want to say, hey, by the way, Hank, I really appreciate you, like, having me on and everything like that. Like, it's kind of cool working side by side with a legend, you know?
You bring a lot to the team, Dallas. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah. Oh, just let me know, by the way, if you ever need anything, I've got the old eye in the sky up above. We can get you some detailed, you know, satellite images. I've also, back in the double R Range Rover, I've got a bag of thermal gear if we end up getting into the nighttime and everything like that, you know, in case Mike can't, you know. But I think Mike's going to track down this kid. But, you know, just in case we have to go in low light, thermal goggles, got the WBs. I've got tons of gear in the Range Rover, so you just got to let me know, buddy.
Is the drone already up?
I've got the drone. You can see it on the backpack, on my, yeah, just like up above.
Yeah, that might be helpful in some of this underbrush.
Here, you know what? Why don't you use it?
No, I still use a flip phone.
That's okay. You can, you know how to use this guy? And just has like, it looks like a...
I'll just crash it. No, I'm just going to go talk to these people. But I'd be interested to know what it finds out. That's the eye in the sky. We it really helped us out a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of the family and then get on with the drone working and everything like that. Split up. We'll see what we can find.
And as a reminder, Mike and Roderick are doing what?
Well, we're getting on my ATV and going to head up the trail. Up the
trail. Okay, yeah. Sounds good. Hopping up there. Let's start with it's Dallas walking over to the Noxes. Tara Nox, the mother, she is very visibly distraught. Her eyes are red from crying. She's holding her two-year-old close as if she is afraid she will lose them next. She's currently arguing with another police deputy about just like wanting to get out there on the trail and just go looking. And the deputy is trying to keep her calm. And just like nearby, the 8-year-old Madison Knox is sitting on a bench. She's got sandy brown hair, and she has like a nervous energy about her as she keeps glancing you towards the stream, the Charles Brooks stream that's kind of like nearby next to the park, just keeps glancing over there. And she looks at you as you're approaching, Alice, her just kind of like big eyes just following you as you approach, kind of noticing you first. But you walk up to the group with Tara and her two children. What do you do?
Tara, right?
He like looks at you, kind of like breaks her attention from the deputy, and she's like, yes, Tara Nox. Sorry, who are you?
My name is Dallas Bart Moss. I work alongside the U.S. Forest Services. We're getting a team together out right now to go look for young Josh. Do you need anything? Water?
Yes, I need you to find my boy already. We've been standing around here for the better part of an hour, and I've been saying that if he's not here, he's out on the trail. I don't understand.
Tara.
And like the baby starts to cry a little bit. So she like has like, you know, starts shaking, her 2-year-old to kind of breathe and just like lowers her voice. I don't understand why we've been standing here when we should be looking out. And it's around this time when like the ATV is kicking up and Roderick and Mike are leaving, and she's like, great, finally, good, something, so can we go now?
Hey, of course. If you would like, my name is Dallas. I work for a group.
Yes, I know who you are. Everyone knows who you are.
Perfect. Well, I just want to let you know that we're going to be using top-of-the-line technology to find Josh and find out exactly what happened. I just need to get any details that I can from you or from your other children, if they're comfortable. I also have an array of snacks, waters. If you haven't eaten yet or anything like that, it can be very taxing on your emotions and everything like that, having to deal with a crisis like this, but also making sure you're not taking proper care of yourself. I can't imagine what you're going through right now, but that team that just left, top of the line people.
Tara kind of like looks over at Madison and says, honey, what do you hear that? Mr. Bartmoss brought snacks. Why don't you just go grab yourself something, honey, just please. Okay. And Madison kind of is like, but mommy, I can tell the man about, and Tara is like, just go get a snack, please. You can talk to him. Talk to the nice person afterwards, okay? Madison kind of like looks up at you and just kind of like gets up off the bench and walks over towards the crafty
Madison,
services.
Grab something for me too. I'll talk to you here in a little bit. I just need to speak to your mom real quick.
Madison kind of like looks up at you and just like nods and begins heading over towards your trailer. Mm-hmm. Tara just says, is this a normal thing to bring catering to a kidnapping site, a disappearance site, whatever.
Yeah. There's a lot of information that's flying around right now. Tara,
she cuts her. Go ahead.
You being out here, I am so very okay if you want to join in and help find your kid.
The deputies nearby, their eyebrows kind of go up when you say that. Mm-hmm. And they look at each other like just slightly.
A familiar voice and face always helps in these kinds of situations. But there's also the question of your other children. Would you be okay in going... I have a research outpost not too far away from here. It's just doing observations on trees and bird patterns, things of that nature. A lot of conservation stuff. If you would like to wait there, and we'll take care of you. I can give you my direct phone number. But if there's anything that you remember that might have slipped your mind or looks over at the deputies, you didn't want to tell them, which I understand, please let me know. But I will spare no expense to make sure that you and your family are comfortable and that we find Josh.
Why don't you go ahead and make the search move plus presence, Dallas?
Perfect. Thank you. That's with a plus two. Thinking about this, I'm going to save my items for later. But I was like, would my... $2,400 hiking boots show that I am not just talking the talk, but I also walk the walk as well, literally. Okay, not too bad. That is a 11.
11, very nice. You'll get a clue. Hank, you're walking over towards the playground, you said. What are you doing?
Was there other witnesses?
Yes, I was actually about to ask you about that because the introduction mentions witnesses, and I don't know which characters those are on the side character sheet.
No, it looks like they got deleted.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
I'll talk to, as I'm looking at the playground. I'll take Jeff with me, and mm-hmm. and as I'm scanning the playground looking for like anything that might stand out. What I'm really doing is I'm like, what's going on, Jeff?
Hmm?
What's going on, Jeff?
Not much, doing my job, Hank. What's going on with you?
Well, I just know, like, you know, that, as long as you guys have been here, you could probably already found the kid on the trail. Why don't you guys go up on the trail?
Kind of like looks out at you and just kind of goes, we just wanted to wait for, the Forest Services to get here as well before we started, going out there. But if you'd like to help, Hank, the sheriff's deputy, sheriff's department is happy to help.
You don't have to say yes or no, Jeff. I can tell by the expression on your face. Okay, you don't have to say anything. Are there stairs back up in here?
I haven't seen any stairs. It's been a while since I've seen any stairs out here. I mean, he kind of like looks at you and says, "What do the stairs have to do with this?"
I don't know. Maybe the kid got on the stairs. I don't know.
But what?
Nothing. I have to check.
Okay.
Just for myself, not for the routine procedures.
Look, I mean, he kind of like takes you by the arm, just like kind of like twists you a little bit like further away, and just says, "I know this thing. This thing has a whole. This everything got like an odd air about it, Hank. Okay, there's already rumors at the station about I don't know, just things being weird lately, but just."
You don't know the half of it, man. You don't know the half of it. Well, is there anything that sticks out in your mind as when you first got here as being odd?
Well, I think we can rule out a bear. They make a lot of noise and they leave tracks, but I know this is just odd. You can also roll search move with your, I was going to say presence, but I could honestly see composure because you're kind of keeping a cool head and helping calm down this this deputy, so you can roll plus composure, I think. And you're winded. I don't think that'll apply, though.
Okay. Plus two gives me an eight.
An eight. Very good. I'll get back to you, too. Let's make a note on the keeper that I owe Dallas clue, and I owe Hank a clue. Mike and Roderick, you're hopping on the ATV to go to a location ahead of everybody. So you can immediately scout ahead to a new location. As I kind of did with the last rescue, I'm going to tell you kind of like what the locations along the trail are, and you can tell me like which one you're speeding up towards. So past the picnic area, there is the Baldface Circle Trail itself, which is a like 9.5 mile loop, takes about like 6.5 hours, like 6 or so hours to complete. Relatively challenging. Let's see. I'm just looking around the whole area. you also know that the Charles Brook stream that runs near the park, there's also a rock formation along it, kind of up and away a little bit, the Emerald Pond. And I think the other thing that I'll say, at least I think that you'd be able to access just by ATV from the trail, is you know that there's like a collapsed shack that's kind of like up the trail as well at some point, just like so that is kind of like nearby. So are you just kind of like focusing on like the circuit of the main trail right now, or are you heading up to a specific location, Mike? What is your intention?
I think I'm heading up the creek to the rock formation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're gonna head up to the Emerald Pond. Yeah,
because mm-hmm. like that seems like to be the easier walking, and like this is a 5-year-old. The kid mm-hmm. is not going to be walking difficult trails. Like,
and it's all, and like Roderick for sure kind of inputs that you always check the most deadly, dangerous places first when you're looking for a missing person, especially a kid. Whatever's the most time sensitive, we look there. If he's chilling out in the abandoned shack, he's fine. You know, but we got to check the pond and the creek and all that.
All details. Right. So Mike and Roderick, you ride over to the Emerald Pond. The rock formation along the brook here is hollowed out with large gray boulders that are about 8 to 10 feet high. The water has pooled here, and a deep green algae makes the small pond appear luminescent in the sunlight. The trees around the pond are large and spread out, allowing a blanket of deep moss to add to the greenness. Let's paint the scene. What signs do you see that years ago there was a fatal accident at this pond?
I think there's just a little memorial, like at the sort of like where the beach meets the tree line.
I think that, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's in the water where you could probably go swimming or maybe jump off some of those rocks. I think there's a sign up now, like a little warning sign that has like a the stick figure jumping in and bumping their head or something, like warning, you know, the water's not deep enough to dive or something like that.
I think that there's remnants of like a person's belongings in the water, like just like little bits and bobs that won't decay, but like that nobody wanted to fish out, little pieces of metal, maybe like a little clip of some sort, and it's clearly very old.
There's a collection of cross and flowers bundled around a tree. You know, it's kind of like the site of like roadside accidents, but beside this pond, there's just like a little collection of like flowers that have, some are dead, some are still fresh and alive that are being redelivered, but there's one of those weird little crosses that you just kind of see in random areas, and you're like, oh, somebody died here. Got it. Cool. I apologize.
Hey, Jigsaw.
Jigsaw is saying that they need attention.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot to contribute.
Yeah, they do. The ATV parks up next to the dark brown painted sign that points to the Emerald Pond. There's a thick spider web that is like grown underneath it, absent of a spider. But, you know, you two park up the ATV. What are you doing?
I assume we're scanning the area for the kid or signs that there was someone here, like a brief scan of like movement, small person movement. Roderick looks at the water specifically, but it sounds like it's pretty shallow and I'd see someone in it.
Yeah, it's pretty shallow. It's a little pond, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably at its deepest, you'd get up to like maybe the bottom of your rib cage, but like, yeah, it's. I mean, the algae though just kind of completely obfuscates what's beneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike is looking for signs of a kid, not the kid, the kid himself, but rather like signs of like play, signs of just. Like if it's like muddy at all, footprints and whatnot, just looking for what's been disturbed in the area.
Sure. Both of you can make the search move with reason, but Mike, with the birds as a condition, I'm going to give you a disadvantage as you're kind of like looking around the area. You can just hear various small birds in the forest, and making, you know, bird calls as normal. And thankfully, you know, the ambient noise is not strange. It's just normal forest sounds, but they sound agitated, as if a predator was stalking in the nearby area. So I'm going to give you disadvantage on your reason roll for that. A rare little moment where a player condition intersects with a pre-written moment that I'm like, oh, good, this is perfect.
Well, bad news, I got a 6.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
6 from Roderick and from Mike.
Oh, jeepers.
Ew.
Oh, my God, we're bad at this. Oh, my God.
We're back, baby.
Okay, Dallas and Hank are here to save the day, all right? It's fine.
God.
I'm going to focus on Roderick first, because Roderick got the softest. Let's see.
Oh, no. Poor Mike.
I'm taking a look at your... Just taking a look at everything you got going on here. I'm not going to kill you this early on.
Okay. What are we doing here?
I'm just taking a look at things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Taking a look at my sheet for ideas. There's just a lot of things I'm thinking about. Hold on. Take a look at your sheet here, Roderick. I'll keep yours pretty easy. Because you rolled a 6.
Okay.
How's Roderick feeling with this whole thing?
Increasingly concerned that there is going to be an emergency that an emergency that he can't help with, that he can't solve. He's obviously not going to say that to anyone, but that's the sort of creeping fear he has, because they waited a whole ass hour.
You can take the condition creeping fear.
Should watch what I say.
Mm-hmm. No, you shouldn't. As for Mike with your 2. Paint us a mental picture, if you will, of where specifically Mike is looking, what he's focusing on, his mental state. Just really just kind of like True Detective season 1, cinematically narrate this whole sequence for us.
Yeah, I think Mike Hester is walking along the shoreline, and at a certain point he just crouches on down, trying to get like sort of a height of like a 5-year-old. Like, what can I see from here? What would interest me? What do I poke? And I think, like, if you allow me, I think I just hear the cawing of the birds in the background, and my hair on the back of my neck raises as though they are particularly calling me out.
Because you rolled a 2, here's what I'm going to describe. You notice a section of the Emerald Pond. The surface of the algae has been disturbed in like a large breach, allowing you to actually see through the pond below. And the darkness beneath those waters feels unfathomably deep, even though it's not very large. But that alone is not the most concerning thing. There is a smear of wet slime from the water over rocks and the nearby area. Something large recently crawled out of the water, and your eyes follow this smeared trail towards the tree line. This counts as a mountain clue unlocking the next layer of the campaign.
Oh, I was going to ask if I could use my move. It never seemed like this before to like give me a mountain clue.
Do you want a second mountain clue?
Yes, please.
Oh boy. Okay. Go ahead and read the move. Never seen this before again, just so we can all have that reference. Yeah.
You have seen it all, from two-headed frogs to woefully unprepared campers, but recently, really odd things have been popping up every time you enter the wilderness. Once per rescue, you may either find +1 clue, and you have to describe what makes it slightly odd, and cannot answer the question by itself, or find a mountain clue for one rescue that is determined by the keeper. This option can only be chosen 3 times. I figured, like, since like the slime stuff was coming up, I was like, "Ooh, could you make that a mountain clue?" And but however, that was already mountain clue, so I get 2 mountain clues.
You want another mountain clue?
Yes.
All right, so I get to describe another one.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, because I already know which one I'm going to pick. I already know exactly which one I'm going to pick. Look off to the tree line, Mike, seeing where that trail of pond scum and algae slime leads off towards. And then you glance back at the pond and look into the rippling surface of the water beneath the breached algae. You see in the daylight, slightly, you know, distorted, your reflection in the water. But then you're not alone. There's a ripple as a disturbance sends scattering, a distortion through the image again. And there is a towering figure just behind you with no visible face and alabaster white skin and long hair with a twisting crown of black antlers hovering just a few feet behind and above you, a hand reaching for your head.
Mike is running away.
You sprint away and you spin and look around and there's no one there, Mike.
Oh, spooky.
You good, Mike? What's up?
I thought, never mind.
Let's cut back. Dallas, you rolled a 10. You're talking with Tara. So you get a clue. Just double checking. Yeah. Tara says, look, as I was already telling them, Josh was there and then he wasn't there. I didn't look away for more than a second. And their dad is down in Concord, but he should be here to help soon. I've already called him. And I've been trying to explain to these deputies for the better part of an hour that when I started looking for Josh before they showed up, I heard. I know it sounds crazy. I heard. Well, it's not crazy. Has to like take like a deep breath to say to yourself and just says, I heard Josh shouting. I couldn't make out what he was saying, but he was yelling something. It sounded far away. I think it was from the tree line. That's why I've been telling them to get on the fucking trail. Cause they said it might just be another kid on the trail, but I know what Josh sounds like. I know what he sounds like. So you get the clue of distant sounds of Josh shouting a few words is what you hear. Or distant sounds of a child shouting a few words. It's Tara believes it's Josh, but definitely a child.
Perfect. Tara, that's actually super very helpful. You're not crazy. And the deputies, they don't know the woods like we do. And weird things can happen out here. So me and the Sarge back over there, we already have a team out there that's tearing up the trail right now. Me and Sarge are going to get out there, and we're going to do our best to find Josh. I'll go talk to Madison real quick. But if you need anything at all, you have my personal cell phone number. And I'll go ahead and let those people know at the research station, just right up the road. Just a few clicks that
I don't want to go to a research station. I want to find my boy. Oh, the kids that no, yeah, now this is me remembering that you mentioned that it was the kids can be dropped off there, but Tara would come along as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What is this deal with the research station, Wes?
It's just it was some flavor.
Okay, I'm no,
sure
I like
that
Bartmoss like
Data Solutions
like
has a couple
sure.
of you know outposts, mm-hmm. research conservation outposts sure. along the way.
Sure, yeah. I like it. I like it.
Telling
I like
about
the flavor.
Our mission as yeah. Bartmoss Data mm-hmm. Solutions.
I'm gonna ask you to make the risky move for convincing Tara to split from her kids, and especially with like a complete stranger and leave them behind somewhere else, like. Mm-hmm. Kind of you're trying to convince her that that they'll be safer this way and yeah what are you afraid of happening here?
I'm afraid that I am going to make the situation worse and she's going to try to go out on the trail with her children.
Makes sense. You can roll plus presence.
That is a 12.
Wow.
6 and 4 plus
hell
2.
Yeah. For your extra advantage, I will give you a clue. Let's see. Tara just kind of like nods. And one of the deputies like stepping over and is just like, I don't think this is a good idea. And it gets like kind of like, you know, pulled away by another deputy and they seem to be going to talk over with with the Deputy Collins specifically. They don't seem too happy about this development you've brought. But Tara just says that she's gonna she'll get her kids. She wants to see them. Well, actually, she doesn't want to leave the site. So I think that maybe she convinces one of the deputies to take the two kids to this nearby thing. Take Madison and her child away. She like is looking at you very intensely, like she expects like her kids to be looked after, and like a hawk, like, and so while she's off doing that, you'll also get a clue. I'll get back to you and let you know what that is.
Got it.
Hank, you got a clue with a complication. I'll give you the clue first. Deputy Collins says, shit, Hank. How long have you've been here your whole life, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And how old is Hank again, by the way?
He's pushing 65,
yeah.
I guess.
And yeah. So like, yeah, he's like about 20 years younger than you, and goes, you remember, don't suppose you remember when I was a kid, given that, you know, my family, your family, everyone kind of knows everyone, just playing by the woods and all that. You know, you remember, yeah. Remember those group barbecues?
Yep.
Shit. You know, we used to play manhunt out in the tree line, obviously not up here, just back by town. And he's like looking distantly at the tree line as he's talking, and just says, you ever remember those tales about the wood devils?
The wood devils, that was just like a play on Bigfoot and all that, so New Hampshire could have their own Bigfoot. That's not real. Come on.
I know that, Hank. Just, I don't know.
That's from like the 70s when they were making all the Bigfoot movies. We used to get all kinds of stuff. Look, come on now. We can get back to the time when we could go to barbecues and play in the woods and not have to worry about, you know, kids getting abducted. Come on. We still gotta protect people, right? Like don't let it get to you. There.
Sure. Yeah. The clue is that Deputy Collins remembers tales from his childhood of wood devils that stuck to the tree line. As for your complication. How are you feeling right now, Hank?
I think pretty impatient. Like I want to join Roddy and Mike. So I'm feeling pretty impatient. I want to go check where the, like, while Dallas is talking to the family and hopefully Madison, he's wanting to like leave the playground and go check the where the kid was grabbed by the creek, and so he's feeling impatient.
Yeah, you can take impatient as a condition. I think you also like spy in the background that there's a bit of a stir with some of the deputies, and one of them like walks up and it kind of interrupts your conversation with Jeff and just goes, hey, Jeff, we got maybe a bit of a problem. That Bart Moss fella is taking the Knox kids somewhere else and is inviting Tara on the trail. And Jeff is just like, looks over at you.
I've got a great idea, fellas. We just need to get Dallas interested in law enforcement. And then maybe you guys could take him for like we You guys take him for a week? We take him for a week. You take him for a week? We take him for a week.
They kind of like look at each other. Yeah. I see that, Hank, you do see, though, that in the bit of the commotion, you also spot Madison Knox, who has that kind of like nervous energy and like keeps also like looking to the tree line, looking at the creek, looking at the playground. You have enough of a experience in this kind of business to know that kids sometimes, you know, have things to say, but easily get stepped over and overlooked in the busyness. Let's take 5 minute break. Dallas, as for the clue I'll give you for your advantage, the extra advantage from your role, as the scene is kind of moving around here, everyone's getting ready to take the Knox children away, and you're kind of like gearing up to hit the trail as well. You notice something that's kind of like fallen in the tall grass nearby, kind of like obscured by some rocks in the area as well. Something that's sticking out that catches your eye that was easily overlooked. And as you step over, kind of fallen over is this crude scarecrow, but not like you'd expect to find in a farm. It's, you know, it's made of sticks and cloth, but it doesn't wear flannel. It's not stuffed with hay, and it's been fashioned out of many different mismatched antlers. Roderick and Mike, you've been poking around the Emerald Pond a little bit to no avail in regards to Josh. What are you doing?
Well, I think the last thing that happened is I asked Mike if he was okay. Like, shit.
Yeah. Do I have any further complications? Because I did roll a two.
Funny that you mentioned that. Nothing overt, but you do notice something. You notice as Mike, or as Roderick is checking on you, you swear that a new rock has appeared in the pond that you didn't notice before, but then it begins to sink into your stomach a little bit that rock that's kind of poking out of the water is long and flat and wooden and painted. And there's a step that has appeared out of the water.
What the fuck, Alex?
A really important question. Can I see this?
Nope.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, we need to leave the area.
All right. I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't see the kid here, and we would see him if he was here. It's pretty open. Should we head to the creek? Or
yeah, let's head closer to the creek.
Meanders and back towards the picnic area anyway. Might want to reconvene. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the creek feeds, or the brook, I should say, feeds the pond anyway. Charles Brook is a small stream that flows into the Cold River several miles from here, rarely more than knee deep, and has roundish glacial rocks all along both banks. It could almost be left over, but occasionally it widens out to, you know, about 10 or 15 feet. Let's paint the scene. Some of the larger boulders have graffiti painted on them from visitors to the picnic area. What sort of things have people spray painted or carved into some of the boulders?
It certainly doesn't make Mike feel any better, but there is a sort of a outline of some stairs.
And I'm going to say that that crude scarecrow made out of antlers that that Dallas saw falling down, that somebody has like scratched one in, and it's really crude because it's just a bunch of like X's and things like that, but it's the same exact shape as the scarecrow.
Yes, you can go.
There is a crude red phrase that says, Elizabeth Albrecht is a total slut. And right beneath it, in pink writing that seems to be more spray paint than Sharpie, is, Mike Vallejo is an absolute dumbass that gives girls VD. And then right beneath that, it says, Elizabeth, I'm sorry, call me Mike, with a phone number beneath it.
Why were they coming all the way out here?
Don't worry about
You know,
it.
Some people just have to make their drama other people's drama, you know?
Oh my God. I think that there's so on another rock is it's in Sharpie and it says Wendy and Hank forever with a heart in the middle. It's probably not the same, but we don't know.
Incredible. Hank, what are you doing? You saw the Madison Knox and kind of things are moving around here. Looks like the things are picking up pace. About to mobilize.
If Dallas is talking to Madison,
Dallas is talking to Tara, I believe. But I mean, if Dallas wants to talk to, which one?
If Dallas isn't talking to Madison, I'll talk to Madison. But
Go talk to Madison because I was dealing with Tara, and I think you can see Dallas is making sure that Tara has like proper boots for hiking, making sure that Tara is geared out and everything for the search.
So they're getting ready to take her to the Bart Moss installation, and so as they're getting ready to put in one of the deputy vehicles, I asked her. You know, hey, honey, we're gonna go find your brother, but can you tell us about what you saw, or tell me what you saw?
Yeah, Meg Maslin looks up to you, and she like look. There's almost like this kind of like a reverence that she looks up at you with Hank. This kind of like tall, which I'm sure that as you look in the mirror, you know, it's an old paunchy man who is due for retirement. But in the Madison's eye, she sees this kind of like weathered, just like confident, like almost like grandfatherly, like kind of figure. She just looks up and says, she kind of like opens her mouth and then says, no one's been believing me.
Yeah, I get that a lot too.
I told them that I saw a tall man take Josh, but
they was don't... he taller than me?
She like nods, a lot taller than you, like she's like reaches her hand up, but then she's like she can't even like reach you, but then she just kind of like gets on her tippy toes and still can't reach over you. So she goes, a lot taller than you, and fast. The tall man was fast. He was wearing brown so no one could see him. And he put his fingers over his lips like he was shushing me right before he picked up Josh and ran into the woods. And she begins to describe the man in more detail. Paint the scene. When Madison describes the tall man, what small details seem out of place or not features of a human?
I'm going to say his brown clothes. She tells me, or she tells Hank, his brown clothes were, they were all made out of like hair. Like it was like his clothes were made out of like somebody made a jacket out of hair.
Ninja Turtle hands. She can't describe anything other than Ninja Turtle hands, which it seems like hands with three fingers. Which is something that I like to do with my partner when like hanging out and trying to shake their hand like a Ninja Turtle, because it's always off-putting. Cowabunga, dude.
Yeah,
People that watch this know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a weird thing to describe a Ninja Turtle hand. Yes.
It's upsetting. I think that she describes the mouth of this man when he's shushing her is really, like, he's got a really big face. Like, his mouth is, like, it's big. Like, she's trying to describe it. And so she keeps doing, like, this, like, you know, to try to describe his facial features.
I think the most disconcerting thing that you hear, Hank, is that this tall man doesn't have any eyes. Only that mouth remains a feature on that tall man's face.
Was that everyone? Yeah. Damn. Mm-hmm. You're just describing, like, one of the, like, a fade from the Wheel of Time. I'm gonna post a picture of that in like chat.
Just, oh no, I'm scared.
It's not exactly, but it's like the mouth but no eyes and the tall pale figure and all that. Yeah.
Oh yikes.
Yeah.
I've never seen this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Turtle hands.
So yeah. Anyway, yeah. Hank, as Madison is explaining all this to you, how are you doing over there?
I'm thinking about the. I look back over at Deputy Collins, and I'm like, "What's he talking about? Those tree devils? Wait a second." I'm kind of wanting to like get a move on.
Okay, sounds good. Getting that.
So I tell her we'll go find Josh, and if we see the guy, well, I'll check out and see if he has Ninja Turtle hands, Madison. Those sound weird, but sometimes that happens. People get into accidents, like in a shop class. Okay, I gotta go.
Things begin to move and bustle at this point with getting the Knox children out of the immediate area. Tara Knox is determined and getting geared up by Dallas Bartmoss. Roderick and Mike, unless you wanted to do any searching along the creek itself, you will also return to base camp this way. But that is up to you if you wanted to search along the creek.
I think with Mike, it's half-heartedly because like he's pretty sure that Stairs may have kidnapped the child.
Oh my god. Roderick is actually, since he's not driving, he's like scanning the creek as they go. Occasionally he'll be like, slow down.
So since Mike is the one driving, I'll say that, yeah, Roderick, if you want to go ahead and make your search move plus your reason, that yes. would be...
I would love to do that.
Fantastic. And
we'll see if I fail. Oh, 6, 7, 8, 10. Look at that.
Wow.
10. All right. Get yourself a clue. Okay. Cool. Something you'll spot in Charles Brook in passing. Let's see here. I think you just spot, this is getting closer to the picnic site, lying near the edge of one of the narrow parts of the creek, or the stream, I should say, or the brook, whatever it is. There is the water. You spot a strange glint that when you have like Mike slow down for a second, you spot that there is a blue and white marble like that from a child's like that would play with, that is just kind of like lying discarded near the brook.
All right, I make a note of where this is. I actually like look to Mike and realize I actually really don't know where the fuck we are, and I'm like, hey, Mike, can you make a note where this is? This whole thing looks the same to me.
Oh, no, there's distinct marks in the land. Like you
what? Could, Okay.
There's actually two like sort of types of forests right on top of each other in which the trees blend in one another. If you can tell by their leaves, you can actually it's actually this is actually an excellent spot of marker because like this is like where the line it divides properly.
That sounds great and like a thing you will remember. Good. Okay. Good. Teamwork.
All right, then you can easily reconvene with the picnic area where Dallas and Sergeant Hank. By now, I think the Knox kids are out there. Tara's getting geared up. You all reconvene as things are kind of like beginning to move. Deputy Collins is walking up to you, Sergeant Hank, and saying, "So, you handling this yourself, or you need help?"
If you guys just stay here, in case some other people come and maybe they have maybe they've got Josh with them. Seems like there's some hikers up there. If you guys just hang in here, we'll head on deeper up the trail.
All right, well, hey, if you're sure, Hank, just radio in if you need our help. You know, he's trying not to be obvious by the fact that he is relieved as to not be going out there.
Yeah, just go up the trail here. We'll move quickly, Jeff. Don't worry about it.
You ready, Mrs. Knox?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. Excellent. It's really important that Josh hears your voice and maybe even gets a glimpse of you. I think that might re really reassure him.
She nods, just kind of like eyes firmly set forward on the trail.
I think Dallas is going to get the drone ready to fly overhead, and I will use that when the moment is appropriate to look for clues as we are on the trail. But yeah, just ready to roll.
Mark a use of state-of-the-art everything.
Perfect. Well,
Any
essentially, because I have the condition, the drone.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I thought you were using it for the immediate clue. No, yeah,
No, not for the immediate clues, but for, like to help me look for clues when we get to
yes,
that point later.
gotcha. You'll invoke that
Perfect.
for an advantage. Yep.
I think I'll even give my casters a wink, just like a.
I hope Mike makes that face back.
Let's get a little group role play here as as y'all are gearing up.
Right, y'all find anything, find out any more stuff from. And then Roderick notices that the mom is still there and has been geared out in Bart Moss hiking gear
Oh no.
and is
She has
like,
like a vest on that says it's like a fleece like zip up like for hiking that's like Bart Moss Data Solutions on it, yeah.
all right, thanks for joining us, ma'am. Y'all find out anything relevant?
Yeah, there may actually be some guy may have actually grabbed the kid, so we're gonna have to like head on up the trail, because I don't think the kid's on foot. I think somebody has the kid.
We checked the waters. Go ahead.
That seems to be what we gathered as well.
Okay.
Miss Knox heard Josh cry out
Yeah, we
from
should get
deep in
him.
the woods.
All
So
right.
we should get a move on and I'm not going to tell you to slow down, Mike.
Did y'all find anything?
Well, we checked the water sources, we checked the pond, we checked the creek. Those are clear. We found we found a marble. Mike knows where that is. Could be Josh's, could be nothing. I mean, there's a shit ton of graffiti out there too. It's not like people aren't out here, but I don't think he's in the water, so I think we're good there.
Interesting. Good. Good job, you two.
Yeah. From what I think so far, it's more or less that that Josh was down by the water and then get picked up by there and left somewhere else.
Yeah. Maybe we'll run onto some people who saw some tall guy with a kid. I mean, it looks like there's plenty of people out here. Maybe he's one of them.
Yeah, taller than me, but that's coming from his sister, who's pretty small.
I don't know, man. It could be. I mean, you're pretty tall, but still, there's some. I can't talk.
There's always tall. Somebody taller. There's always somebody taller, Roddy.
Let's hit the trail. Baldface Circle Trail. 9.5 mile loop. Takes about 6+ hours to complete. Challenging, but popular due to its access to both North and South Baldface summits, as well as Emerald Pond, which Mike and Roderick just returned back from. Mm-hmm. Heading from the picnic area, the mountains are to the north and northwest. Let's paint the scene. There does not seem to be as many hikers on the trail as it normally does. What local wildlife is taking advantage of the lack of humans and enjoying the area all to themselves?
There are a couple of foxes that are moving along the brush line. They're almost like they're kind of like running along with us, but trying their best not to be seen.
I think those turkey vultures that we saw down at the picnic area are setting up on a limb of a big dead tree, just kind of like watching the trail.
As stated in previous sessions, it is turkey season. The turkeys are getting a little bit friskier, I imagine, but we could hear the gobbling of turkeys.
And I think that there is a regular deer, a regular, totally normal deer, and adult and a baby, sort of just vibing in a clearing, eating some stuff. But it does look over at us, and it does make eye contact with Mike just for a second, the same way just deer sometimes do. And she chuffs before going back to her business.
Dallas, you have the drone, I imagine, while you guys are moving on the trail, so you can go ahead and make the search move if you want to. You can get advantage on that for free.
Thank you. What am I rolling with?
If you're controlling it, I'd say plus reason.
Okay.
Which is a minus one. Yeah?
So I take the two highest, right?
Yeah.
Well, the two lowest is a 4 minus 1, which is 3. My two highest is a 6 minus 1, which is a 5. Yeah.
Gotcha. We'll get back to you.
Fantastic.
Moving out on the trail, what are the rest of you focusing on, doing, tactics you're approaching, conversations you're having? What's going on?
I don't think Roderick's talking at all. I think he is scanning the tree line for movement as they walk together. He's listening and looking and like really super intense.
Oh.
Oh no! Oh, no. Too intense.
Oh, there you go.
Probably actually looks kind of like the mom does.
Being froze for a quick second, but now you're back.
Because Roderick is so intense. He's not talking. He's super intense. I think he's kind of on not the same level of distraught as the mom, but how intense she looks about this. Like he's taking this super seriously, and so he doesn't want to talk. He just wants to like keep an ear and an eye out for whoever this person is and the child.
Yeah, Mike is also like super intense about it because not only there are stairs, there is a strange tall man roaming about possibly kidnapping children. Oh my god, this has not happened in a long time. Oh, Mike is so stressed.
I think Hank's walking slower than everybody else, and he's looking around, but he's calling his. He's calling his ex-wife because she used to really be into cryptids and things like that. So he's calling her to ask about like recent sightings of wood devils.
Would you care to read your new move on your playbook, please, to the everyone so we can hear this?
Let's take a look. My ex. Hank still has a decent relationship with his ex, who works in dispatch for search and rescue. I've known them since high school, and we've been split up for the last few years. And it says here, your ex is a reoccurring character that may provide plus one clue when they use their social media research or network of family and friends to dig up something about whatever the topic is. And the keeper will mm-hmm. provide a clue.
You've had to provide some information about your ex, if you'd care to share.
So her name is Wendy Lawrence, but it used to be McBride. And it didn't work out between us because after our kids graduated high school and went to college, Wendy went back to college and she became a nurse. And then she got interested in like EMT stuff and ended up in dispatch. And so we just drifted apart because we were never home. Why does Wendy still answer my phone calls? Well, she still loves me and she hopes one day that we'll get back together and it'll all work out. But she's totally against Hank's Pensacola, Florida dreams.
So you ring dispatch, get put patched through to Wendy, and you hear her voice crackling through the radio static. This is dispatch.
Hey, it's Hank. Wendy's Hank.
Hey, Hank.
Yeah, we're up here. We're up here on this this missing kid up here on this bald face knoll up here. I'm in the field right now.
Yeah, I gathered that. Sure.
Have you heard from the kids?
What was that?
Have you heard from the kids? They don't ever call. They always call you. They don't ever call me.
Yeah, I heard from them not too long ago. Sorry, you're in the field asking about the kids. Yeah, no, I heard from them. Is everything okay? Is there an emergency?
Yeah, well, you know Jeff Collins, one of the deputy sheriffs out there.
Yeah, I know Deputy Collins.
He was talking about when he was a kid up here. They used to talk about the wood devils. Do you remember those back in the Bigfoot craze?
Yeah, I remember those. Those were just the state's attempt to have their own Bigfoot that was different from Bigfoot. Like, you know,
that's what I told Jeff. It's like a
legally distinct, like even though it's not like a legal thing, but
it's like a New Hampshire twist on the Sasquatch.
And it wasn't even a particularly good twist, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I don't remember the details. Has there been any have you heard any dispatch calls or anything posted on MySpace?
MySpace? No. You're a few years late to that one, Hank. You big lug. Tell you what, and go ahead and roll plus presence on this. And I'm not going to give you disadvantage from impatient because this is Wendy.
You big lug, my little heart.
I'm obsessed.
Oh, you're muted.
I have an 8 plus nothing, so that's an 8.
An 8. Okay, cool. You'll get 2 clues plus a complication. I'll save the complication up front in case you decide to do any crowns about it. I think Wendy is going to be a little off put by the nature of this conversation, and she's going to be quite concerned. And she asks, you know, a few more like probing questions of like, what does this have to do about missing kids? You know, he's like, and just asking you like really kind of digging in there, and you're explaining to her. But I mean, I'm going to give you the full stack here of 3 because, you know, you're going to take the condition. Wendy's worried, and that's going to weigh on your mind.
I think I'm going to go ahead and spend a mask on that one.
Take a crown. All right. Sure thing, sir. Yeah. Go ahead and mark a crown.
I'm tempted to throw off. I'm really tempted to throw off a few weeks from retirement just so we can break into some weird stuff. So I think I'm going to hit the mask of a crown of the mountain. The shadows grow deep so that I can. I'm going to switch my playbook moves.
Can you go ahead and read the second part of your move once for a few weeks from retirement?
So once the crown of the mountain is used, it's harder for Hank to shake the feeling that he is doomed. If I keep going down and I hit the ancient cliff, I take a permanent condition. I'm going to die on this mountain. And then after the first crown of the mountain is marked, I lose access. I no longer have a few weeks from retirement. Instead, I have to choose another one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not 100% sure what I'm going
to choose. That's okay. So you lose your ability to, you do not have.
I don't have a plus one to composure.
Composure. Anymore. Yeah. So your composure is now just. One. Yeah.
I think I want to give somebody else. Here's what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to mm-hmm. give, now it's your problem, to another player, so that we can generate a whole bunch of these, a bunch of these, crown of the mountain clues. So I do have the additional move flashbacks. If it's marked, it's unmarked.
I
have it marked
one tick.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's not micromanaging. Maybe that's not a good idea, but I do get to pass this on to another first responder who then gets to move flashbacks.
And they do you share access to it, or they just have it now?
Didn't really say.
You're the designer. You choose.
If I didn't have it, then they just have it, and I don't. Mm.
Right? I think it's now just like a shared move between the two of you.
I like that.
Yeah,
and I'll put that in the notes that it's a shared move.
Yeah, who are you sharing it with?
I'm gonna take away. I had it marked once, so mm-hmm. I'm gonna take that away. And any volunteers? Anybody want to have nightmares? I feel like Mike's loaded up. I almost think we can look
at
Dallas. Ooh, Dallas.
That's a fun idea.
That's a fun choice.
Let's go with Dallas. So
yeah.
Oh no. Let's do it.
All right.
Are we about to contextualize why Dallas is hunting? Like, like why Dallas is doing this? Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. So Dallas and Sergeant Hank now share access to flashbacks as a move.
This is such a cool design playbook. What the fuck, yo?
It is.
Okay, perfect.
Then in that case, I owe you two clues from Wendy's dispatch. She tells you, she kind of like relays you some bits and stuff, stories of, especially for like your area of the woods, there are, you know, shallow burrows amongst the tree roots, that can be found, in hillsides throughout this area. That's one clue. People kind of like usually like equate those as some people say like, oh, like they're like fairy homes, like, or, yeah, but like, it's like some people have also attributed them to like the wood devils or just like some other local cryptids using like those burrows and all that. And she also tells you that she did get a report from about a couple weeks back, just some dispatch that she had taken note of that, some hikers in this area had made a call to NFS, but, you know, different department from search and rescue. So this was something you had to deal with. It was like more of a possibly a domestic disturbance kind of thing, or just some kind of like they had a ranger girl out there to poke around about it. Someone had said like they had noticed some two tall people in the distance along the trail, and they were making like a bunch of weird noises. They thought they were like drunk or on drugs or something like that. So they had called that in, but she notices that. So like that's the only like weird stuff she claims. And let's talk about Dallas's complication from their terrible, terrible role. There's a turn in the trail, Dallas, as you're kind of like fiddling around with the controls, trying to figure this damn thing out. It's so much easier when you had one of your tech boys do this from a base camp, but you're up here yourself. And what's this bullshit about losing signal? You paid for the extra satellite boosters. This is you're gonna have to have a conversation with somebody about this. There are emails that need to be sent. Someone, preferably an unpaid intern, is gonna get fired over this. And
not the unpaid interns. Oh, that would make me such a bad boss.
The trail does turn though, and you kind of get like you're distracted looking down at this thing, and when you do glance up though, holy shit. Like, just this breathtaking view of just the distant mountains, vast, laying out before you, the splendor of nature, just holy shit. Kind of looking out there, just kind of caught off guard for a moment. And then we hear a sound behind you. You hear like a sibilant voice, hard to say. You just hear it go, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?"
"I'm Dallas. What's your name?"
"Who are you?" You turn and look and kind of like glancing through the distance to see like where the source of this voice is. It sounded a lot closer, but you're looking around, there's no one here, but in the distance you do spot a smudge of brown that blends in with the trees. Very tall. Very wrong. And just kind of in like a half crouch looking at you and just mimicking perfect sound with no intonation difference, just going, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?"
Jesus fucking Christ. That's terrifying.
What do you do, Dallas Bartmoss?
I think Dallas is going to do two things. Is going to slowly start approaching it, mm-hmm. hands out and everything. But I'm also going to activate one of my state-of-the-art everythings.
I'd like to know which one before I give you the rest of the complication.
Real-time satellite images. I want one of the Bartmoss Data Solutions satellites to take a little couple snapshots of this interaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can do that. You can absolutely do that. Let me give you the rest of your complication too. Because as it doesn't move, it just stays, and it's distanced off enough that like you're walking slowly, hands out. It still stands there in that half crouch, just occasionally intoning non-conversationally, just, "Who are you? Who are you?" And I think you realize a little bit too late that you're being lured, because as you're like walking towards it, you realize too late that you're not paying attention to where you're walking, because you step right on top of a crude forest floor hunter's trap as the foliage cracks underneath and you plummet into a short pit with wooden stakes placed at the bottom, and a stake goes right through your calf. Going to give you the condition impaled leg.
Now the question is, we were talking about interesting choices. Sidebar chat. I think we're going to continue on this timeline. I'm not going to put a crown on. Fuck no, dog. Let's go.
Dallas, you narrate what happens when this you take this grievous injury as this old wooden stake at the bottom of this pit trap. Like, this looks like an old and crude trap, not like newly made. It pierces through your like your leg and in a gout of blood. Just kind of narrate what happens there.
I think there's just that shock immediately that this happened. what the fuck? This stuff happens? This is real life? And I think like Dallas is like kind of saying that underneath their breath. They're like, this happens? Does this actually happen? And just is looking at their leg. And then just like realizes, oh. And then just does like a long just fuck, and just like you can just the camera pulls back and you can just hear the fuck from the hole. Nothing else around it. Probably just the image of that figure moving away or something. Very creepy.
Yeah, I was gonna say what we see is that figure is gonna like perch, and like as like Dallas's screams of pain are heard by the nearby first responders, we just see the figure just kind of like still like half crouch, just then quickly just terrifying. Disappear into the wood line.
That's so line. Fucking creepy,
that's
dude.
That's fucked, Alex. That's fucked.
That's terrifying, man. Oh my god. Oh, Jesus. I think we're all close enough to hear Dallas yell, fuck. I don't think Roderick noticed them walking into the woods because he was looking another way. And only when they scream does he realize they're not right by everyone else. And, I mean, unless someone else yells at first, he's like, Dallas! Where are... Dallas!
Fuck.
Okay. You guys run over to the shores of the screaming, where you see a pit trap that Dallas has fallen into, and his leg is like sheared through by a wooden stake.
What the shit?
Hey, I think there might be some poachers on your mountain here. Maybe.
Is this normal?
No,
that's exactly what I said. I asked myself, does this happen in real life? And apparently it does.
Oh, shit. Okay. How deep is this pit, Alex?
I think it's not. It is I want to say it's about like 6 feet deep.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
That's
super
just
cool.
Deep enough.
And like the pit is like. Like the wooden stakes are old enough that I think that because Roderick's on site, that's like this could have been like most of them broke from the fall. So like, you know, this pit trap has been here for a while, like years. And like the wood was clearly like not in sturdy condition, and it just like broke underneath Dallas's fall. Just one particularly strong fragment just went through his leg.
Oh my God.
Luckily, I have a rope ladder.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
And that's
not really
easy.
I've got a net. We can load
easy enough to get him out of the pit, yeah.
We'll use the net to get him out.
Hell yeah. Roderick will insist upon, if that stake doesn't come with them, like if it's stuck in the ground, going down there and helping with that. Because the last thing we need to do is just yank their ass up.
Mike is on the lookout for more traps in the area, because even if you have one pit trap, you're gonna have two pit traps.
Oh shit, do you think this kid fell in a pit trap?
Maybe! Or got thrown in one, because there's a random tall ass person in the woods.
I saw him. I saw him.
Tara is here, by the way, so she's hearing Mike's kind of yelling and all that, and it's definitely... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, yeah, no, that's terrifying.
Stay close, Miss Knox. You need to stay close to us. There may be some more traps in this area. We're gonna
traps. Miss Knox, what kind of a park are you running here?
this seems like it's not part of the park.
This is kind of a disparaging thing, because technically we're not like keepers of the park. We're technically just like, I don't know, it's a very nuanced job. Oh fuck.
Dallas, check.
Yeah?
You said you saw someone?
Yeah.
Super important.
Yeah. They kept... It sounded like they were right behind me. Roderick, it sounded like they were right behind me. And when I turned around, they were far away, throwing their voice. It was tall, looked like it had little hair. I was approaching it, and it lured me right into this motherfucking thing. Okay? There's shit out there. Okay?
As Dallas, you're saying this, you hear a little, like, buzz from your smartphone.
Makes
Fuck.
Roderick jump so fucking hard,
Hey,
like.
no, and then like Dallas like grabs the front of Roger's shirt and goes, no, careful, careful, careful. I don't want to die in this pit.
You will not
Okay.
die in this pit. You will not die in the, it's you are
Okay.
you will be fine. I promise. I will not let you die in a pit in the fucking woods. But I think we need to send some people after whoever the fuck just got you over here.
Yeah, okay. Just get my ass unimpaled real quick, okay? I
Okay.
don't have to, I just remove me, okay? I cannot let anybody see me like this, all right?
Late.
My phone went off. My phone went off. Here. Just, oh shit.
Stop moving. Jesus, stop
I'm
moving.
sorry. I'm sorry. It's really
You don't have,
important.
it's a, no, it is not.
It's really,
There is
you
no
can
way it
look
is
for me.
important.
You're the doctor. You can look for me, right? I trust you. I
No,
trust you.
that's not my job. I don't, and I'm not a secretary.
I'm looking now. I'm
Jesus.
looking now. Ow, this
Oh,
hurts.
yeah,
Why does it hurt?
stop.
I'm moving my arms. Why does my ass
Yeah.
hurt?
Everything is, this is not life or death. There is no way what you're checking is life or death.
Is it?
There's
Your
no
phone
way.
has just received a download of some images taken by your satellite that you had take photos.
I'm so fucking smart. Dallas thinks of themselves even though they have minus one reason. Like, I'm so
Does Dallas say this out loud?
no, mumbles it. Totally
Just mumbles,
auto-mumbles.
I'm so fucking smart.
Okay. Holy shit. What do I have to roll to unimpale their
You don't have to
leg?
roll anything. As the
Okay.
medic, you don't have to roll anything.
I'll
So
mark
here's,
a first aid kit.
you don't need to do that at all. So all because you have the wilderness first responder move, same deal as before, is just like as long as you are monitoring Dallas's condition, they won't suffer the penalty from the impaled leg. However, if you're ever not around Dallas will just continue. So we can say that, like, you deal with it. I think we can say that you can take impaled out of there, and we can just say hobbled. Just like the fact that you have like this bandaged wound, you've patched it, you've wrapped it, you don't have to mark anything at all, Roderick. It's tended to, but if you're ever just not around Dallas, he will suffer penalties from that condition. You're there helping him like most of the time, though,
Okay.
keeping him in like a stable state, yeah, and keeping him like helping him out, yeah. But
Okay.
the two clues you're gonna get from your satellite images, Dallas Bartmoss,
Ooh.
is you're a
It's
smart
so
boy.
important. It's so fucking important.
First one in the image. Where did I put it? Hold on. There's a blur, a large blur of something moving. This you think that this photo was taken after you fell in the pit. You see a blur of something large moving in the tree, like up through the trees. Just there's like just a few photos of something like large moving up through the trees. The second photo taken of like the area, you see like a distortion, but then you realize it's a lens flare. There's a glint, some like light. The sun is reflecting off of something in the nearby wilderness that catch that 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 that's causing that little glare that you notice. Those are your two clues. You guys have been moving on the trail for a while now. Is your
Shit.
intention to keep moving on the trail? I'll say that you guys have made covered enough ground now that obviously the loop is a multi-hour thing, but from where you are, let's see. I'm just double checking some things.
Think we should try to answer the search question.
I was about to say, like, we can say wait, I was just gonna say location-wise, the other locations that I'll like just kind of like say out there. I think by this point you guys are probably near a location where there is this collapsed shack, like not too far from here, just this like local like just thing that's just in the undergrowth. And then from this vantage point in the wilderness, there's this fern-covered ridge far out from you. that you know is like a deer trail that connect. It's like one of those like little I think switchback ridges, I think is the right term. Winding up, but it links to the trail further away. It's you kind of like spot these features from your current place in the trail. But yeah, let's take a look here. We are currently sitting at 8 clues. Yeah, if you guys want to go ahead and take a crack at the question, we can break for that, unless anyone else wants to do anything before we attempt to answer this, because it's the only question for this rescue. So up to you.
Yeah. I think the next step is to like just answer this question. I think like we just cut away mm-hmm. for a scene yeah. of Mike Hester's just aggressively looking for more traps by throwing sticks, stones, of just like, God, we don't need any more of this.
Because you did say that you were looking for more traps, go ahead. We'll get one more search roll in here and see what bad things happen or what extra clue you might get. But search roll Mike. Plus
Mike.
Plus present, not presence. What the fuck am I saying? Reason. And I'm the birds is not in your way this time.
Mm-hmm. God, I should stop rolling. I don't know why I agreed to this. That's a 4. Do I fall down in a trap? Maybe.
Do you? Let me see here. You're scouting around off the trail, looking through the dense foliage, scrub trees. It cuts down the visibility here. And it's a disorienting area, easy for traps to be hidden around here. Your ankle snags on a tripwire that then breaks. And this old trap does not seem to be functional anymore. But you kind of like hitch for a moment. Breath out. Thank goodness. Mike doesn't see this, but we, the audience, see this. Behind Mike, a brownish silhouette of a man appears behind him, just standing there out of sight in that kind of half crouch we saw with Dallas, and just making a soft, we hear the noise of cicadas in the area, but we, the camera, the audience, see that the figure's mouth is making a weird shape as if it is making the cicada sound. And as Mike is looking around the area and turns around, there's nothing there, but you don't notice anything odd at all, but we, the audience, did. Hey, Mike. Where are you?
I was in the area.
No, I mean, where are you? This does not look familiar.
Oh, no.
I think you're going to need to make the risky move to avoid getting lost, Mike. This is very disorienting. Something is making you feel like you're wading through pea soup. Your brain's a little foggy. Why don't you make the risky move? Plus your composure. What are you afraid of happening here? I mean, I figure it's lost, but I mean, what are you afraid of happening here?
Yeah, I honestly, I'm afraid of getting lost. Mm-hmm. Just generally, I think it's less about like being the act of loss itself that I'm afraid of, and more or less of like me, the operative term of getting lost, just because I should know these woods.
Okay. Go ahead and roll composure. Yeah, plus composure.
I don't know what's up with these dice, but it's better. That is an 8.
An 8. Very good. Okay. You kind of pick your way through the you were doing a nice like survey of the area while Roderick was tending to Dallas and getting their wound healed up and strategizing the exercise of the plan, you begin to meander your way back there, but you're pretty confident that there are at least no more traps in the immediate area that are going to be blundered into whatever is left here is old and probably in disuse. So it is even a miracle that Dallas got injured. I know what I'm going to do.
Oh,
and it's
no.
Mean.
Oh, no.
When you go back to the group and just meet up with them, hands on your waist, just such an instinctual, just like resting pose, just a loop the belt, and then an immediate flush of panic goes through you because there's something wrong. It's that, like, it's that professional's instinct of like something I am so used to being just like a default thing about what I have on me and like the way I carry myself is wrong. And you immediately notice it and you look to your side. Your holster is flipped open and the service revolver is gone.
God, I'm putting on a crown.
Okay.
Alex knows he can get me just by taking my stuff.
Yes. Yes. and okay. Then in that case, that does not happen. But let's take a crack at this rescue question. We're going to take a 10-minute break. And when we come back, I would love to hear whatever theories you're cooking up with. All right, let us take a look at the available clues for the missing child. And then I am ready to hear whatever theory you guys have concocted. We have 8 clues, complexity 6 question. We have a clue, distant sounds of Josh or another child shouting a few words. Deputy Collins remembers tales of the wood devils stuck to the tree line. Crude scarecrow made of sticks and mismatched antlers. Blue and white marble by the stream. Series of shallow burrows amongst the tree roots dug into the side of a hill. Stories about the cryptids and all that. Silhouettes of tall people in the distance, possibly drunk or on drugs. Blur of something large moving through the trees. And the sun is reflecting off of something in the wilderness. All right, who wants to kick off the theory? I want to hear this because I did not hear any of it on break.
Who wants to go?
You want to kick it off, Daniel?
I think what we're basing it all on as to where is in one of those, he's stashed by these people. He's stashed in one of those burrows. And then he, as he's being carried through the woods, is tossing these marbles, which is to the that's something that's shining. They're reflecting off something. It's one of the marbles. And and then B has a good idea about the scarecrow.
The crude scarecrow, it's like how Faye tried to trade children for like these wooden changelings. And so they are, it's like an exchange. They're like, we took this, here's a replacement.
And the like whole like wood devil stuck to the tree line, that whole like tall people in the distance that look possibly drunk or on drugs, or the blur of something large moving through the trees, mayhaps could be these creatures. That's how they move and snatch very quickly. It's like a hit and run kind of tactic, and that's why they're so blurry, and that's how they move so quickly. And that's how the distant sounds of Josh is sounding. That's how Josh sounded so far away, is because this creature snatched and
zoomed
off.
Gotcha. So the wood devils are they kind of like lurk along tree lines. They move supernaturally fast, grab and you know. Gotcha. I think my favorite detail of the theory here is going to be the changeling aspect of like leaving behind the replacement. That's a really interesting detail. that's a extremely airtight theory in my opinion. I don't have any additional things added to that or question. Chaotic and anyone else want to throw any other points there, or is that all checks out?
Do we want to make it more fucked up?
Do you want to make it more fucked
always
up?
Always. Do it.
No, not me. I'm just asking. If
it oh, was. I thought you had an idea.
I know. The dolls are plenty fucked
pretty
up.
Fucked
but...
up. I guess we'll see how fucked up it might be, if any, depending on the theory roll. But yeah, unless there's nothing else to add. No. Who wants to roll? It's going to be at a +2.
If the veteran rolls, I always roll with it. I added a new rule where the veteran always rolls with an advantage.
Sorry, you added a new rule between the break and now the veteran always rolls with an advantage.
He's the designer.
You know, I'm going to say that. You know what? I'm going to say, no, you didn't.
I didn't know we were playing. Say no. Yeah. No.
Just saying no. No, you didn't.
I did. Oh, my God.
You have to run through changes to the system in triplicate through David Umbargo before it reaches my office. So
David Umbargo, you say his name. You bring his name into this.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Who wants to roll?
Yeah, I'm fine with rolling unless somebody else wants.
Do it, Hank.
I'm ready to go.
Somebody.
Yeah, you got some good clues from Wendy there.
Please.
Crucial clues from Wendy.
I mean, we have plus two, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. gives us a seven.
I mean,
a five.
Yeah, I think an unwelcome complication or presuming it's going to be more dangerous. I mean, I have an unwelcome complication.
Yes.
The scarecrow hadn't hatched yet.
What a sentence! I know. I didn't know I was following a one sentence horror Twitter account.
I don't think I need to specify more than that. I think you all understand exactly what I'm saying.
We do.
I'm saying some really terrible, fucked up things. Now you can all mark crowns to have it be a lot to get rid of that complication, but otherwise terrible.
I mean, I'm okay either way.
I like it.
Okay then. So the next time on White Mountain Rescue, the first responders are going to go into the burrows to rescue Josh Knox from the Wood Devils. Let's answer end of session questions and then get to Stars and Wishes. Let's go. Roderick, did you admit your wilderness skills are lacking due to a mistake?
I don't think I made a mistake, but I did tell Mike I didn't know where the fuck we were.
Yep, I caught that. I noticed that. Yeah, you can take that point. Yeah. And did you also share your career goals?
I did not.
Okay. Mike, did you impress the others with your wilderness skills? Yes, you did.
Yep.
Yes, you did.
And you also did share your insight about White Mountain National Forest. Mm-hmm. So you got 2 points. Very nice. Hank, did you remind others that the good old days were better?
I did with Deputy Collins.
Yep. And did you show younger members of the team that you've still got it?
I don't think so.
Actually, I'm going to give it to you because it was a thing I narrated, but like it was how Madison Knox viewed you as kind of this heroic figure. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I like the idea that maybe other people present, like Mike and Roddy may have even noticed that in some way. I don't know, like this kind of like capable man speaking with a child. And I know you didn't bring that in the narrative, but I feel like you deserve the point for that scene.
I think also that combination of being like working next to a living legend, that kind of like, and then to be like, cause that's kind of like a showing that like, oh, you're a legend. Like it's past your time now. But then coming back around and being like, no, I can still wheel and deal with the kids. I can still get information too. And just be like, yeah, I think it's, yeah.
And then Dallas, did you share your wit or wisdom with the first responders?
If you consider me screaming fuck out of a hole with the,
nope.
Do
not consider that.
Pretty witty.
Did you explain yet again why you love volunteering?
No, didn't get the chance because I was volunteering myself to be in a hole with a stick.
You voluntold yourself to get out of that hole.
This happened to me in a game last night. My character got thrown down an elevator shaft and like knocked out half of the session. I'm sorry, I was in the bottom of an elevator shaft. I couldn't participate in that. So it's similar vibes. I'm sorry, I was in the hole for half the time. God, that was cool.
You're just falling in holes.
Points for me. No points for Dallas today.
What is it with like holes and like our group, like just our groups?
Let us go ahead and go to Stars and Wishes then. Whoever wants to go first.
I wish that we transitioned to a hole-based society. No, I'm kidding.
Hole-based economy?
Hole-based economy. How many holes have you fallen in? That determines your status. This was a fantastic session. It felt very quick. The pacing was very quick with it. I feel like we just hit the ground running with it. Great Mike and Rod scenes. I like that we're mixing it up a little bit from the last one. So got a little bit of a Rod and Mike, which is great. Always fun. Daniel on point with Hank McBride once again, yet again. Like, I feel it. And the scene with Wendy, fantastic. Alex, you said you big lug, and I blushed, which is wild because I run like very like kind of like erotic but David Fincher games and stuff like that, and it's like, no, you big lug made me blush. I felt like I was watching Popeye for a second. It was wild. But in the best way, not a bad way, a good way. No, so it was all very fun. My wish, I wish we get that kid out of there. Kid's been out there for too long. We gotta bring him home. That's just my wish. Nothing ulterior about that whatsoever. And I hope that I can live up to the expectation that comes with the flashback move.
Yeah, I have to echo a lot of that. Like, I really had fun with Roderick, who remains to be the more confident of the pair of us, unfortunately. Like, God, yeah, I'm just like, that phone call was like, it felt like there was so much history there, even though Alex has knows about as much as I do about the character, which is not a whole lot. Dallas Bartmoss got a taste of his own medicine, I feel like, this session. Like, it just like of like having to deal with very stressful situations and not being able to like be in control of anything and just feel a little bit helpless. Down in a hole.
In a hole. Sorry.
But And oh man, the dice were so mean to me today. They said, "No, you're not gonna succeed. No, you're gonna just be terrorized by by the mountain." But oh man, I God, I'll be honest, I missed out on a bunch of the theorizing, so like I don't know what is going on. I'm ready to be surprised what happens next session because I'm just like baffled.
Don't worry. You know as much as us. That was it. That's all we had. It yeah, I don't we know as much about the scarecrow hatching as you do, and I'm starting with a wish. I want to know what the hell that is. I know that's terrible. I want to know what crawls out of there. Absolutely, God, everyone's so fabulous. I know everyone's talking about the phone call between Hank and Wendy. That was so good. Both of you, oh my God. But also, I really like the Hank and I believe the little girl's name was Madison. I really like the way it felt very real. And Hank is just so sweet and like so good at his job. And Alex, you're so good at NPCs. Like they're all so different and it's just absolutely fabulous. Oh my God. Dallas was very like fun. It's funny in this because like you do such a good job of convincing everyone you're like really doing your like a nice. You're doing so nice. You're nice, good, yes, helping. And like obviously like Roderick believes you. And I love that Mike is like the only person who is reasonably concerned about this person having a militia. Thank you for continue to bring that up. It's amazing. And oh my God, yeah, everyone just did so fabulous. This was a really it felt very fast-paced in the best way.
For Wes, I really liked the creepy deer playground equipment. Like that was a good callback. And I think it set the tone for the first responders when they drive up and see something like that. And I also love that Dallas always has an answer for everything. As soon as it sounds like that's not appropriate, and he always back around and I like that consistency. And it was a good point, I think Chaotic made it. or maybe, I think it was chaotic, that he got his comeuppance from like a rotten stick, right? This high tech whiz guy gets taken out by a sharp pointy stick, which is, I think, poetic. I really like that chaotic is like leaning into the mountain clues, and it's going to get nuts real soon now that Wes has the keys to the kingdom of the mountain clues. I like B's rationale to check the dangerous points first, because it was like, that makes sense. We're going to find this kid. So a big star there for B being a rescue professional. Alex, I like that you made Tara say, everyone knows who you are. Because he is like a household name, like Bart Moss is like a household name in this region. So I like that came up, which kind of echoed some of the animosity that we experienced last time at the O'Sullivan's bar. I like that Deputy Collins was being way dodgy. And my favorite was the, who are you? Like you, like that, who are you was like creep, super, super creepy. And then for everybody, big star for everybody, just that, the description of the wood devil, the man, those are great, and it seems like we recreated something that already exists, but that makes it even creepier.
Yeah, I just want to chime that who are you was so freaking creepy. I forgot to bring that up, but dude, that was legitimately unsettling. I loved it.
Yeah, let's see. I have stars, I have wishes. I particular star to chaotic just screaming, Alex, what the fuck, when I described stairs coming out of the pond.
Oh yeah, like how can you like have like just this rising staircase it seems almost cartoonish, but that genuinely scared me. Like, how?
Hey, man. Listen, sometimes it's the most absurd things that are the most terrifying.
That reaction is seared into my brain. The exact tone, the cadence, everything. Oh, Alex, what the fuck?
It's the tagline for the whole game, the whole campaign. This is it.
New campaign name. yeah, that was great. I really enjoyed Dallas's interactions with Tara as well. I liked the I liked the dynamic that you were presenting there. It was not where I was expecting that to go, but it was very interesting for Dallas to then like kind of like reeled in and be like, no, I'm going to help you out. We're going to be serious for a moment, you know? But then in the woods, when you saw the figure, how your instinct was to be like, I'm going to creep towards it and I'm going to get my satellites into position was very good. Loving how you're playing the benefactor. That's a lot of fun. Yeah. So glad that Hank used the X move, because I was waiting for it after he took it. I was really hoping you'd use it. So I'm very, I really like that move in general, but I think that I really like the way you described the relationship between Hank and Wendy, because it would have been very easy just to be like, oh yeah, they're divorced. But like, You also added the tension of like, but she wants to get back together, and it's like, oh, you know, it's and ooh, that gives me stuff to play around with. That was fun. Let's see. Most of what my stars have already been mentioned as well. Yeah, no, I just good stuff all around. I'm happy. I'm excited. Wishes, I have some more mountain stuff I want to like introduce that is like specific to me running the game. Like they're not like different mountain clues, but like I have some like things I've decided as the keeper that I'm like, I want to incorporate these into the game world. So I'm looking forward to those coming up. So I'm looking forward to more 12 pluses, because I'm also looking forward to when we need four more clues before the single worst night of your life. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, anything, that's me.
I need to go back and listen to last time's episode, because I can't remember if I did my crowns or not.
I remember you did some, and you definitely did some, and you incorporated multiple into into them.
Yeah.
I'd go back and listen, though, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, I still, like, have it, like, highlighted as though I didn't do them or was about to introduce them, but then, like, time just ran out. So I have to listen to see whether or not, so.
Are there any other search wishes? Everyone go? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, in that case, let's wave goodbye.